This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. Tonight we want to welcome Avril Abrahams. Hi, Avril.
Hi, Suki. So, hi, Frederick.
Hi, Avril. So good to have you here with us.
Yeah, thank you for being willing to share your story with us. So the past 2 weeks, we had a husband, Trevor, with us. Listeners, if you had missed that by any chance, make sure that you get that on our podcast at kpulpit.co/podcast/IntoMeC. So today, we will hear your side of the story, Avril.
All right.
You're ready for your side. Sometimes I know when I'm actually just joking about that, because sometimes if I tell my part of the story and Frederick tells his part of the story, it doesn't always sound the same. It sounds a bit similar, because I always experience things a lot more intense than what he does. So my mom used to say, if she takes what he says and what I say, then she can get the average. And that's more or less probably what it is. So so okay. I think we need to be more truthful. But honestly, when I say it, I always experience it maybe more intense than what he experiences it. As you know, this month we talk about Christ-centered recovery. Frederick and I always introduce the theme of the month on the first broadcast. So please, listeners, be sure to go back to that recording if you missed it. We explained more about how we recover what the enemy had stolen, because so many of us are not really aware of the word recovery that we often use with addictions. But in this program, we don't only deal with addictions. We deal with intimacy in the face of reality and restoration and redemption. No, sorry. With this program, we deal with addiction in the face of reality, restoration and redemption. And then also we look at intimacy as seeing into me and the role it plays in authentic and thriving relationships, like we've already said. And it's in this light that we want to talk about restoration and what it looks like when we want to recover what the enemy had stolen from us. And isn't that something that we all need to do, Frederick?
Yes, Suki, very, very true. Thank you so much for that intro. And I also just want to say welcome to every listener that is tuned in. And, you know, really, who does not want to get better, Suki?
Mm.
And as much as we don't like it, we all have our hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and some of us addictions, and we want recovery and restoration from those issues in our lives. And we know, Suki, that only comes when a true, deep inner healing comes in a Christ-centered recovery and restoration program or group or a community.
Mm, absolutely. I'm thinking especially even the 12-step programs that we so often refer to in this program talk about a higher power. And I know many people, when they hear that word, and me too, our hairs just raise when we hear it. But the fact is that they say you cannot be in recovery without surrendering to a higher power. And of course, for us, it's God and it's Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm amazed, Frederick, to see in the recovery groups where I've been, in the not Christ-centered recovery groups, how many people eventually heard testimonies from those that their higher power is God and Jesus.
Mm.
And that they eventually had become Christians because of that. Because some people are angry with God and they say their higher power is the wind or nature or whatever. Mm. I know you also have experience of this,
yeah,
right?
I'm not quite sure if Avril has had these type of experiences, but indeed I have in the groups that I belong to.
Mm.
There's one group that I belong to that is a Christ-centered recovery and restoration group, and then another, the SAA group, which is not necessarily Christ-centered, but as you were saying, Suki, it's a spiritual program so that people can engage in a spiritual way in their recovery and restoration. And And it's very interesting how the perspective and how the idea and concept of God changes as one is going through the program of the 12 steps.
Yeah. And the first step is I'm powerless.
Mm.
I cannot stop doing whatever I'm doing. And that sounds like sin, hey? Because, I mean, nobody of us want to sin, but we sin all the time.
Yeah.
And the second step is, therefore, I turn to God to restore me to sanity, because the definition of insanity is when I keep on doing the thing that I don't want to do, and but I experience a different outcome.
Mm.
So to turn to God to help us with that. And this is where we're going to get to Avril. Avril, I think you probably thought, oh dear, they'd forgotten about me. But you are part of Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christ-centered program. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit of your background.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on your program. Okay, firstly, if I can go back to where I come from, I grew up in District 6, and I attended the Holy Cross Primary School. And during my primary school years, this is where my parents got divorced, and my mom moved out of our home, and immediately our family dynamic changed. I didn't realize the impact on my life, but only until years later, which I can share later with you. I went through my schooling thinking this was normal, but yet I envied my classmates for their normal home life, what I thought was normal, you know, whenever I heard them speaking. And then after finishing primary school, I went to live with my mom and my stepfather in Mitchell's Plain and attended high school. And this is where I met Trevor, who today is my husband of 33 years. I gave my heart to the Lord before we got married. And then as a young married couple, we were very fortunate to be in a church where family was important. Our kids were born there. They grew up. They learned. They went to Sunday school, to youth. So all the foundational Christian principles was instilled in them. We were part of a group of friends, and I think it was very important. That was very important in our Christian walk as a family together. And of course, that also set a good foundation for us. Notwithstanding, years later, we actually realized, this was like a normal setup for us as a family.
Mm.
But what was to come in the future is where we needed to build ourselves up and make sure that we had, that we were grounded enough, that we knew enough about Jesus to help us through those storms and those challenges that would lie ahead of us in the years to come.
Absolutely.
So that is really my background. I'm not sure if you want any more, but that is where I come from.
Mm. Yeah, thank you so much, Avril. Yeah, it's a story, a very unique story, yet common. Because many people go through the trauma of divorce of their parents and everything that goes along with that. And I had a stepmother, and going through all the possible traumas of a step-parent, there was one thing that struck me as you were sharing. You said you gave your heart to the Lord. Now, there may be a listener who doesn't quite understand what does that mean. What were you like before, and what changes did you experience in your life?
Okay, because I was young, it was really my early 20s. I grew up in a home where we would go to church at big events, maybe Easter, Christmas, that type of thing. So it wasn't a solid Christian upbringing. So to me, it was I knew about Jesus, but I didn't quite understand who he was. And only when I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Lord and personal Savior, and I gave my life over to him, did I realize that there was a relationship there. And being in a church and being part of the Christian family that we were, that is where that journey started. And yes, I wasn't perfect, but not a long shot. I still am not. But at least I understood more of who Jesus was and what Jesus wanted to do, how he wants us to be. And just the reminder, as we used to talk about him when we got together and church events, being involved in church. I was always involved, junior church. I love working with children. And that kept me sharp. It made me, it forced me to remain, grounded in Jesus so that I could be that example.
Okay, wonderful.
So I didn't live an undisciplined upbringing, but once I knew who Jesus was, that's when our relationship started and right. when I was able to actually deal with more.
Avril, yeah, that sounds very interesting. Are we going to tell more about how did you eventually get to Celebrate Recovery in spite of your Christian background, maybe because of your Christian background? But let's just quickly take a break and we'll continue after that. Welcome back, listeners. So, Avril, we just mentioned that you'd become part of this Christ-centered recovery program. And as Frederick and I said in the previous program when we spoke to your husband, Trevor, that this is not the only Christ-centered recovery program. There are many all over the world in different places, and different churches might have different ones. But this is the one where you got to. And I want to know, why was it necessary? Because you and your husband were following Jesus. Your lives changed. Why did you join this program?
Okay. Being in the ministry, we've always been part of the church. We've always been involved in a church. And when I say we, it's me. When I say I, then it's we, because we've always done things together as a couple. So we were in the ministry, and we were responsible for leading God's people. So we had this church, and suddenly we had to face the issues that people had. We had to guide them. We had to share God's word with them. We had to encourage them. And being part of this program, we just felt, do we ever arrive? You know, we think we know it all because we know God's word and we grew up with it. When we heard about this program, we thought this would be a wonderful opportunity to actually learn more or have a tool available, because we'd heard about it, but we didn't quite know enough about it. So Trevor started first, I must admit, and then I joined afterwards. So he started attending before I did, and through what he shared, we thought maybe this is the tool, maybe this is it to help us, to help others, because we need to make sure we guide them on the right path with scripture that is, if I can use the word, Christ-centered, which we didn't know at the time. So when I joined the program and I started going through the 12 steps, I realized that I had to start at the very beginning, just starting at step one. You know, the big one is the denial part. When I started that, I thought, okay, maybe this is not that bad. But as I learned about denial and I learned about the different aspects to it, I had to dig deep. And guess what came out? My parents' divorce. Something that I had forgotten about because it had become the norm for me. My dad has since passed on, and my stepdad, so it's just my mom. But that is what came out, and I thought, wow, Lord, where is this coming from? But this is what made me realize, in coming to this Christ-centered program to equip myself, I needed to dig deep and first heal in myself what was hidden so deep. And that is how I ended up here. So really, I'm also on my journey, and there will probably be many more hurts that will come out that I had forgotten about, that I didn't realize how it impacted my life. And taking that and our Christian walk with the Lord and where we come from, I think this will set us up to truly help those we need it in the future.
Sure. Thank you very much, Avril. So I just quickly want to ask another question. How long were you a Christian before you started the Christ-centered recovery group?
Probably 30 years.
We
married more than 30, so we married 33 years, and we've been Christian since then. And it's only since 2021 that I came into this program.
Sure. So, you know, there's a saying that says healing just allow time to heal the wounds. And so basically you are saying there were 30-something odd years that the wounds could have been healed. You know, so what do you think of a statement like that?
A statement, time heals all wounds.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Time heals all wounds.
I would say, my question would be, what really qualifies us to say that? Say time heals all wounds.
Mm.
Unless we have been through grief and disappointment and hurt and pain, and there are different levels of that.
Mm.
We've all encountered, I can speak for myself here because the program teaches us to talk about I've encountered many levels of hurt and pain, and to say something like time heals all wounds is maybe not always fair unless we are in it.
Mm.
I always like to use the phrase, take one day at a time with Jesus.
And there are many things, like you said, traumatic things that maybe we might not have dealt with. Sometimes we think in time, you know, we think in time these things will sort themselves out. But I just heard you saying, oh, suddenly the whole thing about the divorce that emerged that you thought had been healed long ago. So with that, I want to ask you, why do you think do Christians need recovery or a restoration?
I think as Christians, we are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not perfect. I've shared some of my things that I'd forgotten about.
Mm.
And when we suffer loss or disappointment, it's important that we reach out so that healing can take place in our lives.
Mm.
Otherwise, we're going to go around and around in circles, and we're never going to get past that hurt that we have. Restoration is very important as a Christian, and especially if we want to continue to walk in the purpose and plan that God has for our lives. And He has a plan for each one of our lives.
And Avril, this is something that we really need to work at. It doesn't just come automatically because we are Christ followers or Christians. So we need to work and deal with an issue. So as you were saying, your parents' divorce suddenly came to the fore, and then you can't just leave it there and allow it to fester as such and hope that time heals it. You need to be working at the program. So what does that emerge to look like for you working the program?
Okay, I think with me being able to share, so what the program teaches us, it teaches us to share. So when we finish a section, there are questions, and those questions are the reflective ones. We actually have to dig deep and be honest with ourselves. So we answer those questions. The environment that we are in is a safe one. We have a promise that we don't speak out. It remains there, whatever we share.
Very important,
and I think the
right?
one, very important, right? Anonymity and confidentiality is a key. So that is something that as being in the program, and I think all of us ladies that are there, because I'm obviously in the ladies group, we share our hearts. There are tears sometimes, but we listen. We listen and we understand. And that is what it's about, being able to share. And as we share, we will realize we're not in it alone.
Yeah.
There are others who are suffering and going through what we're going.
Yeah.
But the good thing is that we're in a space where we can be heard, and we know that healing will come. You know, we are heard, and we just stick to God's principles. And what I like is everything we go through, everything that we learn in the program is based on scripture.
It's fully scripture based.
And what more can we ask?
Right. So what I hear, you're talking about community, to be together, to learn from others, to be to speak the truth, not to deny that you said about before. Because I know you knew for years and years. I mean, I've known Jesus since I was in my 20s. Actually, when I was 10 years, I made a commitment to follow Him. And in my 20s, I really wanted to follow Him with all my heart. I became very serious about that. But for years, I thought I was okay. You know, I really didn't think, my dad used to be an alcoholic, and, you know, we had lots of those kind of issues that I'd grown up with. But I just thought it was normal. And I didn't think that this, you know, I thought I was okay Christian. And actually when people spoke about sin, I was wondering, now what sin do I have? You know, I'm actually a good person. And it was only when I came in contact with recovery in 2016 for the first time, when I really started looking, and when I did a 12-step program, that's why Frederick and I so often talk about that, when I realized my character defects, the sinful patterns that I keep doing over and over again. And up till then, I was in many different ladies' groups, Bible study groups, and so on. So, and I know everybody doesn't always have got the chance to be in a CR or Celebrate Recovery group because it's not everywhere, but irregardless of the group that we're in, if we can have a community, like you said,
a safe community
mm-hmm. where people mm-hmm. speak the truth,
yeah.
where we are not judged, and we can openly share about our lives, I think that is the crucial part that I understand Christ-centered recovery, mm-hmm. where we can start restoring our pain, mm-hmm. the pain in our stories. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Avril?
Yes, absolutely. No, I agree with that. And I think also as we go through this program, we realize that we have all these battles that occur within our thoughts as well, and our relationships, and our attitude. It's an everyday thing. And when we come into this program, that's the opportunity we have to actually talk about those things. Mm. You know, whatever lesson we are in for that week, you know, there will be something that we can unpack related to that.
Right.
And then we realize actually we're still on a journey,
absolutely.
You know, but it's lovely that we have the environment, we have the place where we can share that.
Yes. In another thing that I'm thinking of, it's so true what you're saying, just to say, like, in that specific community, we don't give advice. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's a big problem that we often have in Bible study groups, ladies groups, where we start telling each other what to do and we focus away from our own stuff and we start focusing on other people's stuff and how we can help them and how we can guide them and fix them. Isn't that so?
Yes, absolutely. And we're all guilty of that at some point. But what I like is that is one of the guidelines where we don't give advice because are we qualified to give advice, you know? And this is what this program is about. It's about listening so that all of us can just share what is going on inside of us. And through the scripture and the program, that's where our healing comes, with Jesus at the center of it all.
Amen.
Sure. Thank you very much, Avril, for what you've been sharing with us and opening your heart to us. Unfortunately, we need to let it go over to be continued in next week. So, listeners, thank you very much for tuning in. Avril, thank you very much for sharing with us. And listeners, if you missed any of the programs, if you missed or halfway through this program, go to kpulpit.co.za/podcasts/IntoMeC and listen to the podcast and share it with a friend. Mm. Thank you very much for being with us, listeners, and we'll talk again next week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.